Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen, to Deep Thoughts. Today is an overcast day. Haven't made a video in probably 2 weeks. So this is getting to a point where I just got to start cranking these things out again. Sort of one of these feelings I get, you know, you just got to get out and do it. It's a little windy today. Again, I sat here for 10 minutes while my laptop reboots. Not a single pound per square inch of wind, and the second I start an episode, guy gets all excited, and Mother Nature gets all excited, and they start blowing the wind. So today, we're going to talk about NASA again. I'm going to call this one Breaking NASA. So NASA's budget is estimated at $60 million a day. Sounds like a lot of money, doesn't it? And let me ask you, as you wake up in the morning, and you live your entire life, and you go to bed, you meet your family, you meet your friends every morning, you live your day with them, perhaps you meet other random strangers. Where in your life is $60 million a day in NASA products coming out and helping you? We are essentially financing a private organization that's billed as this government global organization that results in fuck all for humanity. Started off a neat idea, but I'll tell you who wakes up every day and says, oh, NASA did everything in our realm. The military-industrial complex, Department of Defense, all the missile technology they use. It's a military organization, in my opinion. It always has been. The moon missions were just a cover for developing what is now known as ICBMs, Tomahawks, JDAMs, everything from guidance systems to propulsion systems, and it's very impressive, don't get me wrong. But now that that technology is in the bag, let's just maybe say as an option, we can somehow come to an agreement that if our enemies were going to have this technology, then we had to have not only that technology, but better technology, and so it kind of served their purpose. Except, wait, there's a catch here. You see, the American people, for whatever reason, the DOD thought that the American people wouldn't actually finance directly this technology, so they spun it off into a space program. And space is where this battle would be fought, because every ICBM typically, you know, escapes the atmosphere. It's a little cheaper to fly it through thinner air and then drop it down on a country, right? So there needed to be this technological advancement. But today, the military can develop all of that without any cover story. Area 51 takes care of all of our covert vehicles. You have Los Alamos Labs that can take care of just a ton of other technology, the propulsion systems, alternate propulsion systems with no fuel that is a big liquid. So there's no real need for NASA anymore at all. There really isn't. If there's a business to be had, then private companies can actually take on that venture like it's been done in Europe. Now, some of you are going to yell about SpaceX. The second that SpaceX can create a video of one of their rockets taking off, flying, and landing without two things, will allow them to be designated as a real company. One, during the course of a launch, a travel, and a landing, there's absolutely no special effects, Oscar award-winning, Emmy award-winning guys in Hollywood that can point out Maya plugins, Terrigen plugins, ZBrush, all that. Because all their launches have one of those elements in there somewhere. Two, during landing, there is no loss of footage just before the toughest hoax, which is to show it actually hitting the tarmac really close. Because they use so much CG fakery, the fire coming out, the smoke coming out would all have to be done at an incredible price to make sure that no CG expert can look at it and go, pfft, it's a Python plugin. So what do? They cut the camera, a crane quickly lifts that thing and then does a kind of a hodgepodgey job getting it on the target. Who fucking cares? They just say, oh, well, you know, it landed. Aren't you happy? The fake ass, you know, crowds that sit there and yell and hoorah. I mean, guys doing shit they've never done before in their life to be so happy, you know. But NASA is there. So what's the objective of this episode? I say breaking NASA. What does that mean? What I really mean is we're going to take everything that NASA says that they've done. We're going to make it a sandwich. We're going to make a sandwich out of that, out of those claims from day one. And then we're going to ram it down their throat. And if they can't prove every single step of the way, and I mean prove, and we're going to redefine what it means to prove, all right? Then not only are they defunded entirely and shut down, just exactly like the space program in Russia, but any remaining people in that organization that are contributing to the cover-up prosecuted for fraud. And then we're going to take the case studies of people that have defrauded the United States government and individuals and corporations. We're going to look at the case studies of who defrauds folks and just take an average citizen, not a CEO making a quarter of a billion a year. We're going to see how much time a person normally takes for stealing money, embezzling, lying. Not your Milkins who get the, you know, the parachute, the Hollywood prisons and all that kind of stuff. But your average Joe the Plumber. What kind of sentence would Joe the Plumber get if he were to screw the United States government out of $60 million a day, 365 days out of the year, 450 years to 60 years? What kind of prison time does that guy do? I'm willing to think life. I'm willing to believe that there's no forgiveness, that it's just... you stay the rest of your life in prison. Now, at the same time we go through this episode, it should be included in this. All agencies that take a contract from NASA and do the same exact thing as NASA. Now, hey, we could be wrong. Let's start off by that comment. We could be dumb citizens without our aerospace degrees. But then, if that's the case, then fine. You must entertain the peasants with proof. And there's a lot of peasants with a lot of PhDs that would like to take a look at your proof. And I say, when I say proof, I don't mean what the 1969 housewife needed as proof that we landed on the moon. I mean a 2017 engineering student, aerospace student, who's sitting around with simulation software, who can build the F1 booster that was in the Saturn V rocket, place the fuel inside the booster, launch it inside simulation software, watch what the pounds per square inch are coming out of the bottom of it, and determine whether or not putting 10 of these on the bottom of a Saturn V is actually going to get you out of Earth orbit. But I'm getting ahead of myself. Now, by now, most people understand that NASA was built out of Nazis. If that statement sounds outrageous to you and you're like, oh my God, your fingers just going for the mouse button to change the video, I beg you to stop and listen. The Dulles brothers. There's Dulles Airport, right? I think it's in Washington, D.C. area. They were the individuals who were tasked with smuggling 1,200 Nazis into the United States of America right after World War II under the pretense that if we didn't take them and capture them and bring them to America, that the Russians would have done that, and all of their brilliant, brilliant neo-Nazi technology would have been lost to the enemy. At the time, what that really meant was V1, V2 rockets. If you go past that, you have your Luftwaffe, right? Your Air Force with incredible planes, with designs for stealth wings, potentially a hell of a lot more. Every single thing the Nazis created in Germany was superior to everyone else's stuff in the world. We just overwhelmed them with shitty stuff. The Thompson submachine gun was pretty good. I think it was the MP-38, the MP-40 machine gun. Amazing. Never jammed. Unbelievable. The Luga. Amazing. Hell, their leather boots look better than ours, you know. They didn't mess around. So I can understand why we want to bring all that stuff over. Half of them were split up, as I understand it, and went into the CIA to do a bunch of thought experiments, the MK Ultra. The K is German for control. Okay? That's why it's MK, mind control, in German. It was a fucking program developed by the Nazis, brought here, and continued probably to this day. Although they've gotten really good at it, right? But the other half, led by Werner von Braun, which you'll hear on YouTube, Werner von Braun, he comes over. He seems like a pretty mild guy, right? He seems just kind of like that goofy nerd that wrote all the Beach Boy songs. Nice. He's just like, well, of course they make rockets. Why not? They're fun. They go up and go boom. But now he's brought over here and he's cleansed. And so he's one happy camper because he's not going to be put up against the Nazi tribunal. Remember that as you get all hard-on-y about looking at Nazis go down in court. 1,200 of them never saw any court ever. A bunch of the schmoes were basically thrown in front of the court and the rest of them went to Argentina, including Adolf Hitler. The baddest of the bad died in Argentina. You can look up some photographs. But these Nazis come over and they're going in all directions. You know what I mean? They want to pick these guys' brains. You got the blueprints for the U-2 pretty much finished by the mid-50s. Took a little while to build it and get it all tested out, but they weren't messing around. And now you've got this huge juggernaut bank account from the United States of America with its uncle across the pond, known as, you know, the banking cartel of the world. It's like, yes, find any reason to take out a loan. We got the Korean War going already. War is basically not only a play for who's in control, but it's also for America, us taking out loans to the banks of Europe. That's the main thrust. That's why things like the Korean War and Vietnam happen. Nobody's worried about communism spreading all over the world. Not to the tune of an 11-year war or a 5-year war. Right. So the way the story goes, just to refresh here, is that Werner von Braun wanted to go to Mars, had devised a rocket design that was as grand as it gets. Huge rocket. Like Empire State Building tall rocket. Structurally speaking, I don't even know how something like that could ever be built. Somehow it goes to the chain of command, and the way the story is actually told is that the White House got involved with this idea. And they said, well, you know, wait a minute. Isn't there something else we can do in the meantime? You know, test it out a little less aggressively. How about the moon? What about the moon? And von Braun was famously noted as saying, well, it doesn't matter where we go, the rocket's got to be this big, because that's how much thrust we need and fuel we need to get off this planet. Now, Wernher von Braun was working with his top knowledge from World War II. No one had ever sat down and said, let's design a better booster rocket to make this thing that you want to build really, really small compared to your Empire State Building thing. They said, well, can we go to the moon first? That's the way it was romanticized. First you want to go to Mars, then he's going to the moon. Okay. He agrees, of course. It seems strange that a person like that would want to go to Mars first, considering back then, in the mid-50s, Mars is just a fucking tiny dot, a blurry-ass dot. The notion that you think you can go that deep into space seems a little ridiculous to me. And I think they blew the guy off for quite a while until a special something occurred in Russia. Sputnik. A little tiny ball with four wires hanging off of it, I believe it's four wires, transmitting down to Earth, put in low orbit by a rocket by the Ruskies. Now remember, we've just completed the majority of the 50s, you know, with duck and cover, because the threat of nuclear bombs was very, I don't want to say real, because it wasn't real that anyone was actually going to fight this war, but they used it against the masses who hadn't seen anything yet. When I think about what the average human being in the 1950s had seen on television or in a movie theater, what they had seen in war, war is probably it. It's probably the most gruesome things that man had ever seen, bar some exceptional experience. So then Jack Kennedy gets up there and says, we're going to the moon. We're going to get there in 9 years. Well, we're going to get there and back within 10 years, excuse me. It does blow my mind. They had a few more years to work on the moon mission, to even sit inside the envelope that Jack Kennedy laid down. But for whatever reason, they thought they needed to blow their wad in 69. But it's on, right? And go see the episode, I think it's 26 in season 1, for how I believe the moon was a hoax. We're going to touch on that as a matter of principle in this, but we're not going to go totally crazy into it. So just like any other experiment that you're going to do, or any achievement that you're trying to accomplish, goal, they broke it down into little tiny steps and said, well, we got to get something into orbit. We got to defend ourselves against our neighbors who've done Sputnik. But just as soon as we thought we were going to get the thing greenlit and get up there in time, fucking Russians put a person up there, supposedly, right? Now, one thing I want to mention is that we now think a lot of the spacewalks, both by us and them, are animation. Stop frame animation, just like you saw, you know, the Christmas specials in the 70s. Move it a little bit, take a picture, move it a little bit, take a picture, which is why it's super duper jittery. Again, film itself would be exposed in space, most likely, by the radiation up there. And if you want to doubt that, go talk to an Air Force pilot, a commercial pilot, when they wear the little lapel, the little pin on their lapel. It's about the size of a mint that you might get it from a restaurant. And in between that is sandwiched a piece of film. And they take that film and they have to submit this little badge into the system, and they develop the film to see how much it got exposed by simply being in the air. Because again, flying from California to Colorado is a chest x-ray. That's how much radiation you get just being up in the air. So for those of you who are career flyers, don't be surprised if you die of cancer. So being an astronaut, way, way up there, 200 miles up in the air, 150 to 200 miles, you're getting bombarded by radiation. The camera would have to be built out of lead and water on the outside to keep this film from exposing. Before I forget, see Project Orion if you think that that's not true. So at first, NASA looks very, very legit. I mean, by the book, legit. We're building boosters. We're building rockets. The rockets are often falling down on the tarmac and exploding. Hey, man, nobody wants that to happen, right? So those are innocent, honest mistakes. Now, in terms of whether or not we got someone in space, I believe we could probably do that. But Russia was in the height of its technological achievements for the 20th century in this 50s era. Now, they did other amazing things after that, but in terms of the level of accomplishment in a short period of time, they had the best scientists that I think they've ever had. They're the most productive scientists. How about that? But again, we look back at the footage, you know, we're not quite sure what's real, what's not. We know that they have faked men in low orbit. They've had to admit it. I forgot the cosmonaut's name, but they've done documentaries on him. But eventually, where did it end up, right? Ended up with this claim that we went to the moon. And we did it not only once, we did it six times with a failed time in between, which is Apollo 13. Never talked about what the hell that was. And so this is where we can begin our formula for breaking NASA. It doesn't matter how teeny tiny the accomplishment is, or how grandiose the accomplishment is. NASA, in 2017 and beyond, should be held accountable to prove, in a computer simulation especially, using modern day physics, every single thing they've ever claimed. There should be a piece of software written by third party folks with open source code that we can all go inside and look at, make sure they're not fudging numbers, that will allow us to reconstruct every experiment they said they've ever done in propulsion and prove at least the first layer of conceptual scientific plausibility of anything that they've said they've done. Simple, right? And if you think that that's difficult, then just know that, you know, Lockheed Martin, Boeing, McDonnell Douglas, they don't build prototypes and try them out first. They put them in software, build them, try them out, fly them, launch them first. Then they spend all the money to actually build the prototype. Car manufacturers no longer build and sculpt concept cars except to fill holes inside car shows. When they really want to build a new car, it's all in the software. They even do market tests where they create fake car commercials. What you don't know is that 99% of all car commercials that you have seen for the last 10 years, those are all CG cars. And I'll repeat that. You think you're looking at a photoreal car with a human being in it, and you are not looking at a photoreal car. I mean, you are looking at a photoreal car, but it doesn't really exist. In fact, probably around 12 years ago, if not 14 years ago, I went to my buddy's studio because he created a company that was making these car commercials, and he shows me a car commercial. It's a beautiful car, photoreal, driving through a forest, so you've got leaves and sunlight just checkering off this beautiful surface. I have an extremely educated eye when it comes to this. And I'm like, yeah, okay, well, that's cool. You're doing what? You know, what are you, editing the commercial together? He says, no, it's CG. And I thought he was joking. It was so utterly real. And now it's 12 to 14 years later. So seeing is believing is deceiving. Okay. What has NASA done with the moon missions? They said they've lost all the original footage of the moon landings. They said they've lost nearly all of the moon rocks, when some of these fucking things are sitting inside museums with boxes around them. They've donated moon rocks to turn into petrified forest rocks. Didn't turn into that, but ended up being not moon rocks. There's all this footage online of leaked reels from moonwalking videos where you have staff coming on to the shot to clean things up. Now, those could be something that someone created. It's pretty simple to create that kind of stuff these days. But they would have to produce the reel that doesn't have that guy walking on set. Say, oh, no, this is the original. Because if they try to wipe the guy off the frame, we can sense they've wiped the guy off the frame. Trust me. But the nice thing about engineering software is that now we can start to experiment. We can experiment with the surface of the Earth. We can literally calculate today. It was unthinkable probably 15 years ago, and now it is a common thing. We have software that simulates liquid. It can also be dialed down to simulate dust. And so what we can do is simulate what a 10,000-pound thrust engine from an Apollo lunar lander would do to the surface. We'll see if a little balloon thing is still there on the ground. We'll see if there's any particles that get on the legs of the lunar lander, which were spotless and clean. It won't turn out the way they represented it in all the moon landings, I assure you. I don't think the Saturn V can get out of Earth's orbit. It might be able to get up to about 200 miles, because prior to Apollo 10, that was the highest we'd ever gotten off the surface of the Earth. And again, to put this in perspective, let me remind you of a little analogy you can tell all your friends if you're a believer that the moon missions were a hoax. Look at any 8-foot ceiling in your house, right? From the bottom molding of your floor to the top of your ceiling 8 feet, right? At least in America, that's the average height of a wall. 200 miles. If we say the floor is Earth and the ceiling is the moon surface, 200 miles as of Apollo 9 is 2 millimeters off the ground, roughly. So they want you to believe by Apollo 10 that they were actually able to go the whole distance to the ceiling, circle, and come back down safely. Right? No mention of the Van Allen belts, no mention of the deadly solar radiation that's out in space. There is no vacuum in space unless you are literally, I mean, there is no vacuum in space as an absolute, but in order to break down the parts per million or whatever per cubic inch, you would have to be in an extremely dead zone in the universe somewhere, barely able to see any light from stars. Obviously, when you get into the elliptical orbit of a solar system, it gets really intense. And depending how big the star is, a million times more intense than ours. We have to be able to prove that astronauts can climb into the lunar lander and climb out of the lunar lander when they're about 3 feet thick with a door that's only 2 feet wide. Because let's face it, you know, the famous saying is outrageous claims require outrageous evidence, right? Well, we're not making the outrageous claim. They are. And they've been making them forever. SpaceX is now taking over the game of outrageous claims with lost footage, CG plugins, missing frames, right? For the rocket that supposedly went up into the atmosphere and landed on the barge in the ocean, some guy counted how many frames are missing. Most of the frames, 70% of the frames are missing. It just sort of is a cartoon of landing on this thing. And of course, the cameras never catch the actual moment of landing. And that's a repeat performance of the lunar capsule coming into Earth's orbit, right? What happens? They've exacerbated the story, giving them a little pocket of choreography. Then when something's coming into orbit, they need to switch from the data that's coming in from a satellite to whatever the fucking C-130 is dropping out of the sky with some poor astronauts in it to splash down on the ocean, so the Navy can say, oh my God, we saw it land. It had three big giant parachutes and da-da-da-da. That little gap, that little blackout is a hoax. It's just a point where they can switch cameras, a point where they can switch data feeds. They've kept it for the space shuttle. And now SpaceX is trying to say it happens on the ground. Unbelievable, man. SpaceX hasn't done it in front of a million people. Like when the space shuttle lands, at least NASA allows 1 million people to go out into the California desert and watch it land. I watched it land once. It was three sonic booms. It came in upside down and then just did a whoosh and landed. Now, I don't remember if there was any jet sounds coming off of it, but it is surrounded by two, I believe, F-16 fighters that are escorting it to the ground. So if someone wants to film the space shuttle and say that the outside sound from the other jets are what it actually is using to propel itself, well, I don't know. Turbines are kind of hard to hide, guys. All right. $60 million a day. I just want you to keep that in your head. $60 million a day. What else could we use that money for, right? Isn't it painfully obvious? $60 million a day, people. I'm not talking about a year. How many college educations could be zeroed out? I'll give you a little digression of what I would do with $60 million a day if I was Donald Trump. I would go and find trade skill degrees that actually end up in jobs. And I would have the colleges put little stars by them when you enroll. And it simply says, if you get this degree and you graduate with a certain grade point average, 3.0 or better, a percentage of your tuition will be paid for by the United States government. And if you graduate 4.0, all of it's paid for. Meanwhile, we're not going to space anymore until someone can create a legitimate space program. In the meantime, we're going to zero out all the debt from these kids. Now, you go get a communications degree, you get nothing. You get a Chicano studies degree, you get nothing. You're basically got a degree in air, right? But back to NASA. If you got a moon rock, NASA should be able to prove beyond the shadow of a doubt its radioactive signature. They should be able to prove without a doubt they didn't get it from the Antarctica, of which they took many trips to Antarctica looking for meteorites just prior to the moon mission. Seemingly, going and gathering true space rocks from the ice surfaces down there, because it's very easy to find them, relatively speaking. Again, people find these rocks in the desert as well. But they have to prove beyond the shadow of a doubt that those rocks come from the moon, and good luck. And, you know, quite frankly, if they're coming in from space, as just space debris from meteorites and what have you, then their radioactive signatures are going to be different between the two of them, probably. The moon buggy. Remember this thing? Apollo 11, they said they couldn't take up another paperclip because the boosters were balanced against all the payload. And that makes sense to me, to be honest. It makes sense that you would have to be that stringent and strict on what you're going to put up there. But then they take up there a 700-pound Chrysler. They do not show it being assembled or unfolded. First picture we have of it is a picture of its front left tire, and there is no track underneath the tire. So somehow it was craned down to the surface of the moon from some crane that's hanging off the side of the Apollo lunar lander, right? Obviously that doesn't exist. We got to figure out why astronauts said there was no sound inside the capsule when they landed on the moon, and why other astronauts in the same capsule with the guy that says there's no sound say the sound was deafening, as noted on Astronauts Gone Wild by Bart Sebrell. Like I always say, a brilliant documentary with a dumbass name. He wants to be taken serious, and he fucking names it after some titty series made by some creep in Florida. I think he needs to re-edit that movie and re-release it, and perhaps add some more data to it, right? And I will say, just as a digression, Bart Sebrell's greatest sin is not being a pretty person. He's an average-looking Joe, very bright, and so he can't get a lot of the airtime. Doesn't look like Rob Lowe, you know? But the moon buggy, if you go look at the footage, the astronaut supposedly driving the thing never touches the steering wheel, never really moves like he's alive, because the thing looks like a RC car, a radio control car, some prop. Speed the footage up 2x, and all the rooster tails coming off these tires all of a sudden looks real time. The Earth is nearly 8,000 miles in diameter. Not circumference. Circumference is nearly 25,000 miles, which is why we have 24-hour days, right? Because we're spinning approximately 1,000 miles, supposedly, at the equator. The moon is approximately 1,200 miles across, which makes it way too big for our planet, as compared to all the other satellites around planets. So they estimate the gravity about 1/6 gravity, which they should not be able to estimate, simply because we do not know what the core is of the moon. And if there's any stability in diameter and gravity, it's because all centers of all bodies in space are plasma cores, thus unifying, for the most part, the gravitational pull of all objects based strictly on its diameter. There's no nickel core in the center of this planet. See Tesla, Colorado Springs experiment, where he proved that the Earth has a plasma core. And if you go look up the sun in Wikipedia, I just checked this out recently, and they do admit it's got a plasma core. Science is shit these days, right? Now, NASA has attempted over the last 20 years to create some evidence. They say they've taken photographs of the lunar lander sites with supposedly the resolution to see the moon buggy having driven all over the surface, right? For those of us that are decent in Photoshop, it would take a matter of minutes to simulate the same exact quality image. But if I was supposed to simulate Earth here and put a pool in my backyard, I mean, I could probably do it pretty good, but I'd have to lift it off some pool in someone else's backyard. I'd probably go to some foreign city and find some pool, lift it, and put it in here and color balance it for my backyard, right? Whatever light of day that the Google Map has. The one thing you don't see is a lot of the terrain that is around these landings, because they use the same terrain multiple times, right? So the thrust of this episode is to get into the absolute minutia, get a team of folks that essentially create a checklist for NASA that says if you want to keep your job and keep the $60 million a day instead of helping the citizens of this country who are struggling to pay their fucking bills, right? Struggling to get a job. You know, we have these resistance groups against reality because they can't make reality work. And they could get some major financial relief and or better education. What if half the money that we take back from NASA was put into better educational programs? Why doesn't NASA take all the geniuses that work for them? Because they do have geniuses working for them. Okay? Mega geniuses. Have those guys create a NASA college. Now, obviously, we know that indoctrination would go into those colleges. But if we were to break them first, then create something that's not even remotely associated with NASA, we could have some incredibly brilliant kids. I took astronomy class in college. And the teacher that I had was very easy. I never took a note. I got 105 or 103 or something like that in the class. Had a woman actually fucking stop the class and complain that I wasn't taking any notes. Can you fucking believe that? Some housewife on the other side of this thing. Well, why isn't he taking any notes? And he's like, what? I don't know. Well, I mean, maybe he's taking notes and you don't see him or whatever. But the guy was sick. He had to get an operation, our teacher, and he was gone for 2 weeks. And for those 2 weeks, we had a NASA Ames scientist come in and take over. It was a buddy of his. And yours truly started taking notes. This fucking guy was so utterly brilliant. I mean, it was like listening to a waltz from 1930 or 1890 to going to the fastest techno music you've ever heard in your life, running at 280 beats per minute with four or five vocals going at the same time. This guy was a genius. I don't even know who he was to this day. For a while there, I was worried that the teacher wasn't going to come back and this guy was going to start giving us tests. I mean, my processors would have been on 100% trying to take a test with this guy. But take Eric Dubay, who's done an amazing job going back to the flat earth theory and creating, you know, a list of reasons why he believes it's flat, you know, borrowing from basically everyone else, which he admits. Take that exercise and invert it. You know, he came out with a book which was 200 proofs of flat earth. Fine. He's over there. Now let's come back to heliocentric NASA ball earth and say, okay, we are going to create a test. A test by which you have to pass every single question, bar none. It's a pass or fail test. And each one of the questions has to do with, you must prove this. And these are the parameters by which you have to prove them. If you want to redefine the question or redefine the proofs, then you're going to need an essay or a doctorate thesis paper to describe why it has to be different, but you have to write it for the layman so the layman can understand everything that you say. Big words, not allowed. As simple it is for a housewife to say, I know how the universe created because somebody said it was a big bang, and boy, that's easy to understand. That's how easy you're going to have to make your proof. Penalty of failing? Your organization is shut down and America saves a shit ton of money. Debts disappear across this country. I think that $60 million a day times 365 would damn near wipe out all the debt for every single student for a year. And probably have a shit ton of money left over. But again, we don't want to pay for crappy educations. Now, I do have sympathy for those that were lured into bad degrees. Probably should be some compensation for them as well. What came after the Apollo missions? Well, it settled down for a little while and then it turned into the space shuttle program. An affordable way to get payloads into space with reusable booster rockets, a central tank that was supposed to be turned into all kinds of stuff up there, but never happened. But there's some anomalies with the space shuttle, but I want to give out a big prop to the space shuttle at the same exact time. Huge prop. Like I've said in several episodes, I was a space junkie as a kid. Where I could drag out an A+ in school was giving a dissertation about any one of the programs from NASA as a kid, because I so studied everything that was coming out that it was just going into class and just repeating what I had just read and then I got a good grade. Sadly, it didn't represent much of my GPA. My grade point average in schools was always damn near F's and things I didn't give a shit about, and A pluses and everything I gave a shit about. And so it would be like physics, computers. Actually, physics, I kind of screwed up my grade, but that was due to some internal romantic strife I was going through in the last part of the year. But as a child, of course. So my GPA was never that good. I got to about 3.5 in junior year of high school, and maybe it was even higher than that, just a little bit, but by senior year, I was just such a rebel, man. I just couldn't go to class all the time, you know. I flunked seventh grade, was able to recover that in eighth grade by taking a duplicate English class. It was just, could not sync up with the Massachusetts educational system. Did fine in sixth grade in Massachusetts, went to seventh grade, and my God, I had probably five F's every report card. So for those of you who've had a troubling experience in normal academia, yours truly has blazed the trail. Never got a degree, and I've done extremely well in my life, okay? But I believe in self-education like a compulsive religion. Later, I found out that the philosopher Kenneth Burke did the same thing. Had his father give him all of his money that he was going to allocate for college, and he said, "Let me buy the books and let me teach myself." And then Kenneth becomes an amazing icon, having really pioneered the scapegoating theory and a bunch of other brilliant ideas. But the space shuttle program had something very interesting. It almost seemed like this was the golden era of NASA, because when you look back and you see the Apollo missions faked to all levels, there was something special about the space program. They conducted experiments. We would hear about the experiments before the launch. We would see the experiments on video after the launch in zero G, and then they come home and we would learn something. Now, everyone knows that NASA has developed a tremendous amount of technology for all of their military needs, right? Sometimes they will create, in order to keep the facade up, that we're going to the moon or we're going to really go into deep space, and perhaps that is an objective internally, which is a good one. Like, what we want to do is create a space agency where we don't have pressure to deliver outrageous things on a deadline. And that's, when you run a corporation, you're thinking that's completely counterintuitive, because if you don't put deadlines, people spend $60 million a day, you know, $100 million a day, and no one's getting anything out of it. It's not exactly, it can be managed in a more productive way. When the car, the Vector, was invented by Mr. Holly from Holly Carburetors, right? He said that the outside body and the aerodynamics of the body was based on NASA patents, which are public domain because the public pays for them, right? So there's been some definite troughs of amazing technological advancements over the years. But again, right now, I believe it's at an all-time low, if not entirely muted. It's like we don't see them anymore, right? So the space shuttle had this endearing relationship with the populace, which was me, because we wanted to know, you know, how does algae grow in zero G, you know, how does a tomato seed grow in zero G? Where does the stalk go, you know, when the seed ruptures and the thing goes up? As I said in my, evolution episode number 2, way back in season 1, there's a reason why things go up and not down. If gravity's pulling down, every single plant should just burrow into the ground and not come up, right? So the space shuttle remained, in my mind, pretty legit. Launching, again, spy satellites is what it mainly did. It was still a military-industrial complex program with little tiny side projects, which is, hey, let's grow some algae in zero G. But it gave the impression we were getting something out of it. When's the last time you saw the space shuttle, the last 20 years of its life, do anything for the public? It just kept launching and launching and launching, and then they would say, oh, you know, it's a military-related payload, so we can't film anything coming out of it, and da-da-da-da-da, right? But then something strange happened. And again, I don't know if this is someone finding doppelgangers and lying, but there's a compelling story online about the fact that the astronauts killed in the Challenger explosion, January 20th, 1986, are all alive but one. But one guy was a lot older than the rest of them, and so he might have passed, you know, 20 years ago, and no one would have known. But we believe we've found all the astronauts. Half of them have the exact same name as their original name, claiming to be twin brothers. A lot of them are affiliated with NASA and aerospace, which seems fucking completely impossible. And not only do I find a doppelganger that looks like a perfectly aged version of one of the astronauts, but they're also either advocates for NASA or they have a company that contracts for NASA. Or they've got something aerospace related to their name, right? So when I saw that, I was like, holy shit. Is the space shuttle another Apollo program? Where something is launched in Florida. Of course, it immediately sails over the ocean in an arc as if it as if it is not remotely aimed at going in low orbit. And the astronauts just stay at home. Everything peels off. Somehow that space shuttle is able to land somewhere. Because the booster rockets land in the ocean and the big fuel tank, well, whatever the fuck, just, I don't know, throw it in low orbit or whatever. Who knows, right? Maybe you don't need human beings on it in the first place. Maybe the space shuttle could completely operate with remote control. It's possible. Why they would lie about a thing like that, that really kind of is a mystery to me. There's a lot of videos of the internals of the space shuttle during launches, and it seemed that way back in the day, they just sort of wear a motorcycle helmet and normal pedestrian clothing. And then towards the last 20 years, they were wearing spacesuits, as if that was necessary. Well, pick which one it is, dude. We got footage of both. I would think you'd be more paranoid at the beginning of a mission where you're doing something that's never been done by man and then loosen up later on and say, you know, we don't really have to wear these spacesuits. Things are pretty stable. Hey, if it blows up, your spacesuit ain't going to do shit for you anyway. Proofs. Proofs inside computer simulation. That is what we have to require from these folks. And it has to be vetted by foreign countries. Has to be vetted by the most... I would say disassociated, brilliant geniuses of the world, meaning no one has any paychecks coming in from these organizations. They're not remotely related to these organizations. They're not pining for jobs in these organizations, such that there would be a motive to go along with a lie. Now, the only rub that we have is that we're going to have to get folks that are also creative to review the evidence. Because you might get a very left-brained person who is entirely indoctrinated by the educational system, and the proofs come in, and those individuals say, oh my God, it makes complete sense. Well, the public's kind of going, I don't think it does. And then the press says, well, the experts say that NASA's right. But let me introduce another big charter switch for NASA. To my knowledge, there's never been a referendum by the people to vote on what they want their $60 million a day to go to. It's simply been allocated. And someone internal in NASA goes, well, this is how we're going to spend our money. Public doesn't matter. If the public doesn't want to go to Mars, it doesn't matter. We're going to spend, you know, $50 billion getting there. And again, most of us near Terrigen 4 software. For any of you who've seen the Ridley Scott movie Martian, you ever wonder how they're able to make that surface look as real as the photographs we get from NASA? They use software. Okay. If you watch my previous episodes, I have uncovered the first CG artists of Hollywood going and working for Jet Propulsion Laboratories on 3D simulation software of surfaces of planets. They told me it was photoreal and it could do any surface you want, from forest to Martian land to whatever you want. And I think that's why Steve Jobs, in an interview on television, said he's got a guy working for Pixar. This is just prior to Toy Story releasing, who had a PhD in that discipline. What college can give a degree when there's no one else in the world that can do it? Now, what's the difference between breaking NASA and breaking some other organization out there? Well, what's interesting about it is the very charter of NASA is accountable to the people pretty much of the world. Because NASA is made of several international space agencies working together. So each country is accountable to their people for spending the money wisely. Now, if someone were upset about, you know, the Department of Defense or whatever defense agency you have in your country. That's all covert stuff. A lot going on there. Tremendous agendas going on. And again, they have their own budgets. They got their black budgets, their above ground budgets. If they need military technology created now, there's no need for NASA to do anything in terms of smuggling the technology underneath one of their projects. The military can launch satellites. They don't have to go through NASA anymore. They could if they wanted to, but they don't have to. Right? It gives NASA something to do. Let's just put that way at this point. So NASA is a very specific agency that we can go after. I'm not sure how Jet Propulsion Laboratories is positioned within the government. They are an outside contractor. But if you go to the systemic problem, which is NASA, and we can shore them up, either shut them down or make them prove what they've done, then it doesn't matter what outside agency they may hire to get additional work finished. But again, a lot of the projects that they're now launching just are handed outside to other contractors, right? Now, I'm personally never going to spend time inside engineering software and simulate the F1 booster. I don't have time for that, personally. I'm too old for that. But there are plenty of young, nerdy kids who love challenges, who don't believe anything. They're making these videos online all the time, calling out stuff. But as a project in school, they could perhaps get their bachelor's or master's or their PhD using this charter of this show as a thesis to prove it one way or the other. Probably even get some press and get some fame if you do it well. Because what's the name of the game today? As long as you perceive someone else is smarter than you or has more experience with the same level of education as you, we cower down to those individuals, right? Take your average person, put him in a town hall meeting with Neil deGrasse Tyson. He will bowl them over with paradigms they can't understand, and so they will surrender because they're incapable of engaging the conversation. But that formula is changing now. We're understanding their paradigms. We're getting help from experts who are making web blogs, they're making web episodes, and they're helping us understand where the bullshit is, right? And there's quite a few of us with enough education to call their bluffs, sort of like I've done on this episode, right? I've just barely touched the surface, and you guys know that. We know we live in a world of conspiratorial lies. We do. I mean, the press has a single charter, which is to spin things. Spin things to not only sell advertising, but spin things so that you'll tune in later because they give you half the story and say news at 11. But they also are having to spin things in order to keep their privileged press passes at the White House, at the Pentagon, and so they're manipulated and they're controlled. If they want to be embedded into troops, there's a tremendous amount of capitulation that has to happen, right? So if we can't fix the problem from the press down to these corrupt organizations, we fix it at the corrupt organization level. And I think it would be an amazing experiment that if we could potentially take down NASA or validate them, one way or the other is fine with me, right? I'm not out to just, you know, create carnage for NASA. I'm just saying, look, you made outrageous claims. And the more that we develop technology to vet what you say or what you say is real, photographs with cut and paste, pictures of the Earth and the moon in them, you know, we got questions here. The International Space Station has become a huge target because, one, they never have any stars in the sky, right? And they give you this bullshit about the aperture setting in a camera, okay? I assure you with digital cameras, you can't burn out a digital camera anymore. So you could adjust the aperture of the camera. Yeah, Earth would be a pure white dot. That's fine. Don't fucking point it at Earth, okay? Point it at the stars. How do you mute the Milky Way? One of the brightest things in space, right? They never show you any of that. To my knowledge, I've never seen a single video camera shot of the moon from the ISS. And I don't mean some far away little, you know, waxing, waning, tiny little dot in the background. I mean full moon passing underneath passing outside the space station orbit. Just point the camera out the other window, but they never do that because it's probably a set. We're getting told North Korea has fucking nuclear weapons, of all things. We're told that they detonated one of the largest doomsday bombs in history, an H-bomb. When each time the United States did it and Russia did it, the footage of it is the most spectacular footage we've ever seen. So to have North Korea claim all these nuclear weapons but never produce a single video of it, when they produce tons of horrible, shitty CG movies of rockets taking off, right? With just, we're talking grade school particle systems creating the clouds underneath these rockets, right? A high school student could do better in Los Angeles. The fact that they wouldn't release their detonation footage, right? And as far as my research reveals, it is illegal to detonate a nuclear bomb above ground since 1973. It's an international felony. It's an international law. You can't do it. So they would have to do ground tests. Well, when India and Pakistan said they created a nuclear bomb, they submitted footage to the world. And we watched, you know, the big circular disc blow up and sink into the ground. It was very evident that they at least put a lot of explosives in the ground. And then, of course, we have Project Orion, which I'm going to finish on today. Project Orion is the most definitive sort of leak in plain sight that we've ever seen in history. For those of you who missed it, Project Orion was initiated by NASA about 3 or 4 years ago. Probably about 3 years ago. Maybe even 2 years ago, because I made an episode about it in season one of Deep Thoughts. The charter of the experiment was to figure out a way to build a lunar module, capsule, that could go through the Van Allen belts with human flesh in it without killing the people inside the vehicle, because the Van Allen belts started about 1,000 miles up and go for 25,000 more miles in a diameter distribution. And again, if you're doing a slingshot technique that NASA says is what they use to get to the moon and every other body in space, then they would be inside the Van Allen belts for an extremely long time. And all the scientists that know about radioactive waves and electromagnetic waves have said that the inside of this capsule would be a microwave. The same reason you don't put steel in a microwave, because it shortens the wave and it bounces. It doesn't shorten the wave, but it bounces it around and creating more friction than the unit can take. You know, if you put a steel plate in there, the whole microwave will melt. Well, it's the exact same thing with a quarter-inch aluminum capsule, which went to the moon. So there's no need for there's no need for the Orion project if the Apollo projects happen, because they will have sent nine sets of astronauts to the moon, from Apollo 10 all the way to the last mission. And again, Bart Sebrell was able to interview these astronauts, and they had no knowledge of the Van Allen belts. They said, well, it must not have hurt us because we went through it. But once the internet started picking up on this huge faux pas of NASA to admit they didn't have the technology to put a human through the Van Allen belts, we knew that everything they'd said about getting outside of Earth's orbit was a lie. And technically speaking, you know, technically, you still are in orbit around Earth, even if you're in a suborbit around the moon, but you know what I mean. You're past the Van Allen belts. So they pulled the program and canceled it. Now, some of us suspect the program is still going. It's just they can't put it in the public eye because it's too much of an admission of not going to the moon. So that might be a really nice thread to pull out of the sweater to begin this investigation. I wish the people like Dr. Stephen Greer would take a little break from his disclosure project and go after something like this. He's admitted a lot of other things in his documentaries. I guess he's got I watched it on Netflix. It's called Acknowledged. I think that's what it's called. It's a fabulous documentary. I mean, he even mentioned Stan Myers, which I'm going to do an episode on eventually. A man who created an engine that runs on tap water. So if you're inclined, especially if you're young, or you know a young person who's in engineering, going into aerospace, all that good stuff, how about we put a little pause on the current level of indoctrination and we go over to the current debate that's out there, and let's just make them prove it. And make them prove it down to the atom, you know? Prove everything that they said they've done beyond the shadow of a doubt. They're not able to lean on old papers, right? All the old papers need to be rewritten today. Simulation software needs to be written and published to the public such that anyone can download it and run it. So that other engineers can look at the simulation and say, this makes sense, or this is all bullshit. It doesn't work like this. I think you feel me. I just want to crank out an episode today. Kind of had it in my blood. Been thinking about this one for a while. DeepThoughtsRadio.com for all the feeds. I'm going to create a really short bumper today. That's it. There's audio and there's video. Go to the website. It'll get you to Facebook and all that good stuff. In the meantime, take care of yourself and someone else. And I will see you in the next Deep Thoughts. Over and out.